Welcome, we're glad you're here. Today we are starting a new series on the book of Proverbs. It's an Old Testament book with a lot of wisdom. And as I was thinking about this, I got to remembering something and went back and watched some clips from Back to the Future. Remember the movies Back to the Future? Of course you do. Everybody's seen them, right? The DeLorean, 88 miles an hour, the flux capacitor, Michael J. Fox, and that whole cast, it was so much fun. And got to thinking about this. Something's dawned on me recently that will make those of you who are like my generation, who saw that like high school or post high school, or when you were just a kid, I actually graduated in 1984. And if you know the movies, they were set in the center of the movies are set in 1985. And then they went back to 1955. And then they went forward to, when they went forward to? 2015, next year. So I expect to have a flying DeLorean by next year in my driveway, right? That's the hope in hoverboards. I got tickled. I was looking at it last night, little scenes from it. And in one of the scenes in 2015, they have fax machines everywhere in their house. And now nobody has a fax machine anymore, right? It's all email electronics and social networking. The fax machine is kind of outdated. And they kind of thought in 1985 when they made it that everybody would have a fax machine everywhere in their house. But I was thinking about this, imagine you had a DeLorean and you could get it up to 88 miles an hour and you had a flux capacitor, and here we are almost in 2015. I want you to think back to the time when you were like high school age or just out of high school. Now, some of you are like, I'm not there yet. So you're going to have to hop into DeLorean and go forward and tell yourself some things. But for a lot of us, we're going to hop in our DeLorean this morning and we're going to get our DeLorean up to 88 miles an hour and we're going to go back in time. Back to, for me, 1984, 1985 is about right, which makes me old, and I'm not real happy about that, but it just is the way it is. Some of us, it may be 5 years ago or 10 years ago. Some of us, it may be a lot longer than that, and I won't point you out this morning, but you know who you are. But we're going to hop in our DeLorean, right? We're going to get it to 88 miles an hour. We're going to go back, and when we get back there, we're going to have a conversation with ourselves, our teenage self. We're going to talk to who we were back in 1985 or 1955 or 1975 or whenever it was, and we're going to have a conversation with ourselves knowing our lives. One of the interesting things in the movie is that when they go forward from 1985 to 2015, the two main characters have the opportunity to see themselves. Actually, the three main characters have the opportunity to see themselves as adults. And for one thing, I'm really thankful that the two ties thing never actually came into vogue. I don't think I would have like gone for that. But they were able to see their lives, the trajectory of their life when they got old. And then they were able to go back in time and say, you know what? I don't want to land where I actually landed as I saw myself. Well, what happens in our lives as we look at our lives is as you get older, as you mature, as you hopefully grow wiser, there becomes places in your story that you're like, I don't like where I've landed. And I wish I could go back to the person I was 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago and have a conversation with myself to warn myself, to tell myself to be careful about certain events, certain people, and certain trajectories of my life. And what's really hard is that we all have, more than likely, we all have these moments that we deeply regret. Things that happened where we made a really boneheaded decision and something horrible came out of that momentary decision, right? And we also have things that we begin to build into our lives. And this is often the harder thing. We started building habits and ideas and identity issues and things like that into our life when we were young, teenagers, early college, early adulthood, college age, building patterns and ideas and trajectories that still linger, that we just, now you get to a point where you're just like, I wish I could get rid of this, but it's so deeply ingrained in who I am. I just don't know what to do about this. And overcoming it, it starts with this little bitty thing and it grows to this point where just so much a part of who you are, habits and issues and struggles that you wish you'd go back and, you could hop in a DeLorean, go back, talk to the 1985 version of yourself and say, don't go down that road, right? Don't go down that path. Don't get caught up in this. What God has done by his grace and in his scriptures is God has revealed himself and said, I want to tell you who I am. I want to tell you my purpose. I want to explain to you who you are. I want to explain to you why the world is so hard and how you struggle in the world. And I want to share with you that, like, God's message is that he himself came into our story to rescue us from ourselves. And as God has given us the scriptures, the very book that we read, the Bible, the one that's at the end of your rows, the one that a lot of you have downloaded onto your phone or your pad, the one that hopefully here and there you're reading, what God has done is God has spoken. He has given us his very word, his very revelation. And the beauty of God's revelation in the scriptures is that it addresses all of life in some sort of way. And one of the books that does this for us is the book of Proverbs, an amazing, amazing book with, believe it or not, 31 chapters, which matches up with almost all the months, right? Where you could just read a chapter a day, and it is packed with wisdom. It is packed with that conversation that we need to have with ourselves that says, well, how do I chart the course of my life? How do I move? What does it look like for me to pursue forward so that I land where I want to land and I don't end up with the things in my life that I want to end up, that I don't want? It's set in a place in the Bible that's called the wisdom literature. And so what we're going to do, I mean, I'll talk to you a little bit more about wisdom literature and then the book of Proverbs in a few minutes. But what we're going to do for this summer is we're going to do a summer series for June and July where we look at this book of Proverbs and we're going to preach big themes. We're going to preach this morning just the idea of wisdom and kind of teach you how to read Proverbs this morning. That's my goal this morning. And then the next 7 or 8 weeks, we're literally going to look at some of the big themes of Proverbs, where Proverbs addresses big ideas in our life and share some of the challenges and some of the warnings and some of the things and just ask ourselves, are we living wisely in this fallen world? And so it's set in a section of the Bible that's called wisdom literature. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to grab a Bible real quick. If you have it on your app, that's fine. Find the table of contents in the Bible or on your app. Just find the table of contents. And I wanted to show you this little section. It's called wisdom literature. Explain that to you briefly and then tell you how Proverbs fits in this, okay? So find the table of contents. If you're new to reading the Bible and you're trying to figure out how to find stuff in the Bible is broken up in what we call books, chapters, and verses. In fact, the Bible is, even though it's bound as one book, it's actually 66 smaller works. It's a library of books put into one volume that is the revelation of God to us. And each book has a title, each book has a name, and it's usually set in the Bible with other literature that is like itself. And beginning with the book of Job, so if you find Job, if you find there's two major sections, the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament is looking forward to the coming of Jesus. The New Testament tells us that Jesus has come, and it tells us his story and the implications of his story. And so the Old Testament, everything is looking forward to the coming of Jesus. And in the middle of the Old Testament is this section that begins with the book of Job and goes to the book of Song of Solomon. You see those there? That is called the wisdom literature. And what the wisdom literature, this is great works that were used in Hebrew worship and training because the Old Testament was given to the Jewish people or the Hebrew people. So these are great works used in Hebrew worship and training. And they were designed to help people interact with the great questions of life, to learn to worship, and live with the wisdom of God. I'm going to say that again because I want you to hear it. These books are great works used in Hebrew worship and training, designed to help people interact with the great questions of life, learn to worship, and live with the wisdom of God. Wisdom literature addresses the reality that human life takes place in a broken and fallen world and that people need the wisdom of God applied to life to make it through. But what wisdom literature helps us understand is that this world is not the way it should be. I tell my kids all the time, there's a big difference in the way things ought to be and the way things are. We live in the world of the way things are. Yes, it ought to be perfect. It's not. It's a broken, fallen world. And with the world of the way things are, how do we make it through? And the wisdom literature is God's gift to us to help us figure out what it looks like to live in this world, to grow in the wisdom of God, to pursue Jesus in this, to worship God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to understand how to move down the path of our lives in a way that honors God and benefits us so that our lives flourish, our lives have fullness, our lives have beauty. That's what the wisdom literature. So these books, sometimes they're hard to read. Some of the books like Job, hard book to read. Pardon me. Psalms is a great book to read because it's prayers and poems and hymns. Song of Solomon is a love story between a man named Solomon and his, oddly enough, first wife. You think, man, that's great. But what we're going to find out a little bit later this morning is that Solomon, this guy that started really well, ends poorly. We have then this book of Proverbs is literally a book that is written to us to be this conversation about wisdom. And so we're going to spend the summer looking at this. And here's what I want you to understand. You know, we talk about the difference between like wisdom and knowledge. And sometimes we apply it like this, you know, knowledge is knowing it up here, but wisdom comes through experience. And the Bible addresses that, and the Bible kind of says, you know, that's part of wisdom. But you can be really wise in experience and still not be wise in the eyes of God. And so what I want to do this morning, I want to give you a definition of wisdom in terms of what is the Bible saying when it calls us to wisdom. Because as you read Proverbs, you will hear this call to wisdom over and over and over again. So what is it talking about? What is wisdom? And wisdom simply is seeing my life from God's perspective and then applying that to everyday life. Wisdom is looking at my life not through my own selfish lenses, not through the desires of my heart, but it's taking a step back and asking God to give me his eyes, his perspective, his viewpoint on my life. And as I see my life through his eyes, I then apply what he is saying about the direction, the path, the purpose of my life to the way I live tomorrow morning and the way I live the next day. I can become a great theologian where I can answer all the questions. In fact, Solomon, who wrote much of Proverbs and much of the wisdom literature, was this guy. He was super wise when it came to being able to give the right answer. But the direction of his life went just the opposite. He did not live what he knew. And that is ultimately not true wisdom. And we have this crazy paradox where the Bible says that people looked at Solomon and knew him as the wisest man who lived. But as we look through what Solomon said and what he really did, his wisdom did not match up with the wisdom of God. It's a paradox in the Bible that he writes a big chunk of this, the book of Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. He's involved in a lot of this, what is called wisdom literature. He can put it on paper and God can inspire a broken man to give us great wisdom, but he did not do a great job of applying it to his own life and the way he lived. And so what happens is Ecclesiastes, I believe, the last book in Solomon's writing, written when he was very old, becomes his book of repentance where he says, I tried it all and nothing worked. It's all vanity. And our only hope is to remember our Creator in the days of our youth. Now, Proverbs is not all by Solomon. We're going to read in just a minute that it begins by saying the Proverbs of Solomon. I think what it's saying is that he wrote some of them, but more than that, he kind of commissioned the idea of compiling Proverbs. And so what are Proverbs? Proverbs this book is a collection of short, pithy statements about wise living amidst all the issues of life. It addresses the practical stuff of life, including marriage, friendships, work, wealth, and sex, and helps the readers navigate this life as they apply wisdom. That's what Proverbs is. Most of the Proverbs, not all of them, there are some sections that are longer and more poetic, but especially as you get past chapter 10, each verse is its own little lesson, its own little story, and most of it is these short, pithy, fun, symbol-driven, poetic statements about the world we live in and teaches us about wise living amidst all these issues. And it addresses almost everything in our lives, and it helps us figure out the path that we're supposed to be on. And so what we have in the Bible is there are places in the Bible we have commandments. Commandments are universal statements that say if we want to honor God, we must live this way. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Thou shalt not commit adultery. I mean, those are commandments, and they are a call to every person on this planet to understand that there is a holy God who is calling us to live our lives for his glory, and there are clear things he has told us to do. There are promises, which are places where God clearly says, This is what I will do, and God will universally keep his promises to his covenant people. He is a covenant-keeping, promise-keeping God, and where God gives promises, he will keep those promises. So you have commandments, you have promises, and then you have proverbs. And proverbs really are more general statements about the way the world works as God designed it. General statements. For example, one of the proverbs says, raise up a child in the way he should go, comma, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Now, that doesn't mean that God is giving a promise that if you raise your kids right, they will always turn out good, because there are some people who do a great job parenting who end up with kids in their own sinful rebellion, end up leaving the faith, leaving God's purpose, and end up growing up not to be godly kids, right? It does happen. But the principle is that if you train up a child in the way he should go, eventually God will work in that child's life, and when they're old, they won't leave that. That's a principle. It's not a promise. It's a proverb. So we have commands, we have promises, we have proverbs. And so everything in this book is more about the way life goes, the way God has ordered the world, and what we should live. As we live in wisdom, there are general statements where, you know, sometimes the Bible will say, do this and you will have a long life. That doesn't mean you won't get hit by a car and not live long. It's generally telling you that people in certain situations who live with the wisdom of God, the trajectory of their life will go in a very positive direction. And so to understand Proverbs, we have to understand how God ordered the world. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 19 says, the Lord by wisdom founded the earth, and by understanding he established the heavens. In other words, what God is saying is that he has founded the world, he created the world by wisdom, and he has ordered this world in a certain way so that as he created it for you and for me, for us as people to live on this planet, there is a way this world works that should lead us to worship, to great joy, and to living out our purpose on this earth. And as we do that, our lives will be shaped by the God who made and the wisdom that he created it by, that there are patterns and ways the world works. And for those of us who know Christ, who are living in a relationship with God, it takes it to a new level. But anybody can live with the order of the world and see the basic idea of the Proverbs be true. And so as God has revealed this to us, as God has given this, we live in a fallen world. This world is broken. There are all kinds of things calling to us saying, don't worry about what God says, live for this. Don't worry about what God has for you, you pursue your way. Don't worry about what God is saying to you, this is what you want, you pursue this. And God is saying, I made this world because I love you. I created it with certain order, and everything that I made is my gift to you. But here's one of our huge basic problems is that God has filled this world with good gifts. But the gift should always lead us to the giver, right? We know this on Christmas. A child who gets so fixated on the gift that they forget you as mom and dad, and they don't know how to say thank you. They don't know how to give love. They don't know how to respond to the gift with some gratitude. And all of a sudden, they become mean and ornery. I mean, we've all had that Christmas morning experience, right? Where you give gifts, and 5 minutes later, we're fighting over the gift. And like, I don't think you get it, right? Well, this is our problem in the world, that God is a great gift giver. He has given us all kinds of beautiful things in this world to enjoy. But when we get fixated on the gift and forget the giver, and our life now centers on what God has given as a gift, we are going to wreck it and the relationships around it. And what wisdom says is, love the giver, enjoy the gift. And most of the Proverbs, it's just that simple. We'll look at all these things and say, listen, don't get lost there. Love the giver, not the gift. So like sex is one that comes out over and over again. We're going to have a whole sermon on this, so I'm not going to steal all the thunder of this, but here's the deal. Sex is a gift from God, a good thing given in certain contexts. It's for our enjoyment. It demonstrates his goodness to us, and literally it is something that God has given in the context of marriage that is beautiful. And Proverbs is going to say it's a gift, but don't get fixated on the gift. Love God for giving this to us and enjoy it in the context of the relationship that he's created it for. Anything outside that is going to ruin you. We live in a world that is crying out for sexual freedom, and they want everything. They want everything to be approved, and they don't realize that God hasn't ordered the world that way. The problem with sex outside of the context of marriage is every other sexual relationship eventually will destroy the fiber of a person and the fiber of the world in which we live. Because it's not how God made it. It's like going out this afternoon and mixing, saying, man, I don't like the price of gas. I'm going to mix 50-50 water and gasoline. You can do that. It might run for a little while, but that engine was not designed for that, and it eventually will break down. And that's what Proverbs is trying to teach us. This is how we live in this world because God has made it. It is his world. He is the great gift giver. He created us, and he loves us, and he has given us all these things as gifts. Just don't get lost in the gift. Love the giver, and then use whatever gift for our enjoyment, for his glory, and the way he has designed it, and the world will work. But we don't. And so what we need is we need a dad to come alongside us when we're 15, right, and take us on a fishing trip. You ever have that experience? Some of you or your mom, ladies, take you on a fishing trip. Well, maybe not a fishing trip. Maybe you went shopping. Sorry, got lost there. And so as you read Proverbs, like Proverbs is not sexist, ladies. Proverbs has a content. Most of the time, the Proverbs is from the perspective of a dad talking to his boy. It is the dad who takes his 13, 14-year-old son on a fishing trip. It's his dad who creates a building project and is going to sit around and talk to his kid for a few hours and tell him the way life works and pour into his life the wisdom of the way the world works and do it from the perspective of God. And so here's the gospel in Proverbs. This is the beautiful place where God, as he's laid out his beautiful story, here's the gospel in Proverbs. Proverbs is where God, as a loving father, takes his kids on shopping trips and on fishing trips and on building projects and spends a day just telling them, man, I want you to grow up. I want you to have a great life. I want you to honor God. I want your life to have fullness, beauty, meaning. And I'm going to try to pour into your life the things that will shipwreck that. That's what I want to do. And so it's God as our father speaking through the writers of Proverbs doing that for us and saying, just look out for this. And they're short, pithy, straightforward statements, which means they're great things to use with our kids. But before we use them with our kids, we don't want to end up where Solomon did and say, we're going to pass it on to our kids. We're just not going to live that way, right? And so we also want to be applying what Proverbs says to our lives and adjust our course accordingly and pursue wisdom with a passion of pouring this wisdom into who we are so that our lives are adjusted to the beauty and the purpose and the glory of God in our lives. That's what it means to follow Jesus. And Proverbs is this beautiful gift from our Heavenly Father of him putting his arm around us and go, let me teach you how to live in this world. Because in this world, there's a lot of stuff where the Bible says, this is what you do. But a ton of our lives, it's not like that. Like, there's nowhere in the Bible, teenagers, that says, thou shalt go to college here, right? You just got to figure out where to go. Or this is, you shall marry this girl. Like, it'd be cool to get a text or something from God. This is God. See that girl over there? Ask her out. She's who I have for you, right? That would be awesome, right? Stay away from that guy. He's trouble. But he's cute. I know, but I don't want that guy for you. Like, if we got a text, it would be awesome. You know, it would be awesome if we're like searching for a job and God said, apply here. I've opened the doors. It will work. But we live our lives where there's a bunch of stuff in our lives that's just, how do I live in this world? And what God does is he begins to chart the path for us to help us figure those things out and to live in this fallen world with the wisdom of God, seeing life through God's perspective. You get it? Get what I'm saying? And so that is the book of Proverbs. So let's look at it. Grab a Bible. Proverbs chapter 1, and we're going to read the first 7 verses. We're going to kind of unpack a few things in this, and then I'm going to do a little exercise with you guys on how to read Proverbs here in a minute. So grab Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to read verses 1 to 7 together, all right? So what page? Page 449 in the Bibles at the end of your rows. Hopefully you already had one because you were looking at the table of contents a few minutes ago. Just read this with me. This is the introduction of Proverbs. This is where, as these Proverbs were compiled, and I want to say that well, compiled. It says the Proverbs of Solomon. He wrote some, but he commissioned the gathering of these, which actually continued well after his lifetime and became a finished work by other kings and other leaders so that they could have these things that God had impressed on his people as he revealed himself to show us how to live wisely in this world. says the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight. That's why this is here. To receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity. To give prudence to the simple, and knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and fools despise wisdom and instruction. You hear that? He's saying, listen, these are here just to teach you how to live wisely. And every culture has proverbs. We have proverbs in this culture. For example, the early bird gets the, you fill in the blank. That's a proverb. That's just a simple, pithy, straightforward statement that says this is how we live our lives in this world. Garbage in. See, we get this idea. A bird in the hand beats two in the bush, right? No pain. No gain. Now, you're supposed to say that one with a deep voice. No pain, no gain, right? I mean, but proverbs are just these simple, straightforward statements. But the difference between the proverbs in our culture and these proverbs is that these are literally breathed out by God through the writers so that they are God teaching us how to live in this world. And it's a call to pursue wisdom. It's a call to literally say, if I want to live my life well, I have to figure out how to get out of my eyes and out of my perspective and begin to see the world through the eyes of God, begin to see my life through the eyes of God, and begin to do that in such a way so that I literally am applying certain things into my life because I'm seeing my life through God's eyes. We have to get outside of ourselves, and Proverbs helps us do that. It helps us see wisdom. And in Proverbs, wisdom, there's just some images that Proverbs helps us see wisdom as. In Proverbs, wisdom is a path. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 8 says this. Did I give that to you guys? Yeah. All right, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. You hear that? Get outside your own head and trust in the Lord. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your what? Your path. He will straighten the path out. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. You hear that? It's a path. Because like I said, there's all kinds of gray areas in our lives. Not gray areas in terms of the commands of God. Those aren't gray. But how to live our life tomorrow, there's gray area. What restaurant should I go to? How should I do this? Where should I move? Should I move from this city to that city or should I stay here? There's all kinds of things. And what Proverbs is saying is you start pursuing wisdom and you will start charting a path. And as you chart that path, you're going to come to all kinds of obstacles. You're going to come to all kinds of situations where you can diverge from the path. You're going to come to all kinds of struggles that may lead you in the wrong direction. But it's a path and it's moving forward. And Proverbs is helping us chart a path for our lives that lasts a lifetime. Now, this is where the DeLorean comes in. We wish we could go back to 1985 and rechart that path, right? There's this habit, this attitude, this way of living, this decision I made, and we want to go back and rechart the path. But what Proverbs says is, let's wake up tomorrow morning and let's figure out the wisdom of God, and the path that God has for you starts right now, going forward today, not regretting what happened back there. And the reason that's true is because God is a God of grace. He's a God of second chances. He's a God of new beginnings. That's the whole point. And Proverbs is not calling you to live in regret. It's calling to you to start walking the path that is in front of you today. To live with the wisdom of God in your life today. To pursue it. And to create a new path tomorrow. This afternoon. Now. Because in Proverbs, wisdom is a path. It's not just a decision on something to do. It's a path that is being charted for me. In Proverbs, wisdom is also a woman. That's a funny one, right? Look at chapter 1, verse 20. Wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the markets, she raises her voice. And at the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? Now, you can see what's being pictured here. It's a busy street with all kinds of people crying out to you. And there's the voice of a woman who's saying, pursue me. In other words, what Proverbs is trying to, and this happens all through Proverbs, wisdom is a woman. But there are two women who are always trying to get the son's attention, right? There is the woman of wisdom that says, live with prudence, live with discretion, live for the glory of God, have the fear of the Lord, calling out, and it's in the street, and it's a busy street. There's craziness. There's all kinds of voices, but there's this one voice calling. But there's this other woman who's always whispering in the ear of the son. And as you read Proverbs, especially Proverbs 1 through 8, whenever that woman cries out, the warning is run. Get away from her. She will lead you to death. There's a husband who lives there who's going to hunt you down, dude. Don't go there, right? And so Proverbs is a woman, and there's two women who are crying out to the son. Now, like I said, women are like, that's sexist. No, that's wise if you're teaching your boys. It looks different when you're teaching your girls, and so we do have to translate it that way. That's okay. There are places in Proverbs that address women very specifically. Proverbs 31 addresses women specifically. Other places, it's talking to girls. But if you're talking to your boys, you're like, hey, man, there's two girls calling out your name. Be careful which one you listen to. Be careful. Third thing, Proverbs is a treasure. Chapter 2, verses 2 through 5. Make your ear attentive to wisdom. Incline your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise the voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. You hear that? Make the pursuit of the wisdom of God your treasure. And so here we live in a world that says, what do you treasure, wealth or wisdom? And everybody in our culture will say, I want wealth. It will solve all my problems. And Proverbs is going to say, don't worry about wealth. You pursue wisdom as a treasure. Value it deeply. Now see, if I understand the fear of the Lord, we're going to get to this in a minute, seeing life from God's perspective. If I see wisdom, that, and this is not pursue being smart and having experience. No, it's pursue seeing your life through the beautiful eyes of a gracious God who loves you and who wants your life to have beauty and meaning and value. See your life through that and want that more than anything. Make it your treasure. Apply the gospel to your life and see the world through those lenses. Make that your treasure. And as you make that your treasure, you will have so many things. You see that? And so what the Bible's saying is, listen, pursue wisdom because it is going to create a path. Pursue wisdom because there are two voices calling out your name. Pursue wisdom because it is a call to treasure something that really has deep, lasting, eternal meaning. And so Proverbs begins calling us to wisdom. It calls us to struggle with the path we're on and look at our lives. Now, what I want to do for a few minutes, and I'm going to freak everybody out, but that's okay. It's okay every once in a while to freak everybody out, is I'm coming down here. You're like, it's a little close, right? And the reason I'm coming, I'm going to fall from that careful here, and then people will say, that wasn't very wise, right? I want to do a little work with us in learning how to interpret the Proverbs. And so what we're going to do is we're going to take Proverbs chapter 20. We're just going to take a few Proverbs. We're going to put them on a screen. And I want you to read it real quick with me, okay? One verse at a time. And I just want to hear from you. What is this trying to say to us? What, it like, the path, the woman, who's calling out our name there? What is it saying? And what we'll find is we're going to have five verses that address five completely different issues. And we're going to do just a little bit of work in what it looks like for us to read and understand the Proverbs. Because my goal out of this is not just that we do a bunch of sermons and Proverbs. I hope that over the next 2 months, there are 31 chapters, 31 days in July, 30 days in June. That means we can get through Proverbs twice in 2 months. There's my homework for you. There's my challenge that in 2 months, you will read Proverbs twice. And as you read through them, you will begin to find yourself and wrestle with the wisdom of God. What you'll do as you're reading, you'll come about every fourth, fifth, or fifth verse, you'll go, okay, this one's about me. And then you'll read four, and you're like, this isn't a struggle. And what we want to do is we want to read Proverbs and go, verse one is about that lady. Let me tell you how she should get her life straight. And verse two is about that guy over there. I will tell you how, and then we get to verse five that's about me, and we just jump through it, right? And that is not how we read Proverbs. We read Proverbs that when we read the ones that are not a big struggle for me, we read them, understand them, and ask God to keep us from those. But when we get to the one that's like all about me, we stop. We ask God to transcend our vision and to help us create a new path. in our lives, right? So let's look at some. Proverbs chapter 21. Wine is a mocker, strong drink a brawler, and whoever is led astray is not wise. What's that saying? Don't drink too much, all right? Think that's what it's saying? I grew up Baptist. Baptists have this like tattooed on their arm if they got tattoos. I'm just saying, you know. You know, hey, here it is. This is like the Baptist don't drink verse. And it's a really good verse. It says, listen, we got to be careful about alcohol. Alcohol matters. And here's what I love about this. I mean, it's like super practical, okay? So some of you like were this person or grew up with this person. There's two types of drunks, right? There are happy drunks and angry drunks. Look at the verse. Wine is a mocker. Which is that? That's a happy drunk. We're going to make fun of this guy at the end of the night, right? Strong drink is a, who's that? We don't want to be anywhere near that guy when he loses it. And whoever's led astray is not wise. Is that a wise thing to put? Have somebody like, if alcohol is part of your life, or if you're with your teenage son, is it a good idea to put your arm around and go, hey, good idea here? Because if you start getting led astray, where's it go? Where's the path going? Who's the woman whispering in our ear here? That's a question, by the way. Who's the woman? What's that? Alcohol's the woman whispering in our ear. Wisdom is going, don't be led astray. Now, hear this. Those of you who grew up Baptist, this is going to go on the internet, and this is where I'm going to get in trouble. This is not a blanket condemnation of alcohol. Here's a crazy thing as you read the Bible. There are more verses praising God for the gift of alcohol than there are verses warning about the dangers of alcohol. But the warnings are stern. Right? And so, God is a good God who gives us good gifts. Some of us need to say no completely. Some of us need to say in moderation. We are going to do a whole sermon on this topic and talk about what Proverbs has to say about this. All right, next one. The terror of a king is like a growling of a lion. Whoever provokes him to anger forfeits his life. What's this saying? Respect authority. Because we even have a song, I fought the law and the law. See, we know it, right? You know, respect authority. Because if we don't, what's the law going to do to us? What's the authority going to do? What's the king going to do? Off with their heads. Now, here's a question. Are there some things worth dying for? Yeah, there's some things worth taking on the king. But when you're 18, what are those things? I want more ice cream. Let's go. You know, I mean, you know, when you're 18, you want to fight over everything. Who's the woman whispering in her ear here? Rebellion. Rebellion. And if you start cultivating a rebellious heart when you're 14, 15, 16, where does it go? You see that? There's a path here. There's a woman listening in her ear, and there's a path that goes two directions. All right, let's look at the next one. It's an honor for a man to keep aloof from strife, but every fool will be quarreling. What's the saying? Don't be argumentative. Don't always get into fights. We all had that guy. Like, every guy in this room can name the guy, right? I'm telling you, every guy in this room can name the guy. He was about this tall. He's about 5'5". Weighed about 125 pounds soaking wet. But if you went out with him on a weekend, you were fighting somebody. Remember that guy? There was a guy in my school named Steve. He was this guy. He was always getting into fights. He wanted to fight everybody in school and wanted to fight everybody. I finally was like, dude, I can't go out with you on a weekend because I'm not backing you up. I just can't do this. Like, every weekend we go to the ice rink or something. And I just finally was like, dude, every time we're with you, we're in some parking lot taking on some other school. Not cool. But he was always into that. And he was the type of guy, he always messed with me, and one time he was messing with me. Now, I'm admitting sin, okay? Because it happens. But he was messing with me, and I finally just turned. I was a drinking fountain at school. He was always trying to just pick on me and mess. And I turned around and I punched him in the chest as hard as I could. This is the last time I ever heard anything from him. He was my best friend through high school and beyond because I'd finally stood up to him. But he was always that guy. Now, who's the woman whispering in your ear? Do you hear the chest thumping, I can take on the world mentality? Any teenagers have that? Any 45-year-olds have that? Aggression? You hear the woman whispering, the two paths? It says, every fool, that's a big word in Proverbs, because the fool who is the person who doesn't have any interest in seeing God's perspective. All right, next one. The sluggard does not plow in autumn, and he will seek harvest and have nothing. Who's the sluggard? I love this name in Proverbs. Just lazy like a slug, okay? Now, you got to think agricultural calendar. We were just in Charleston, and on the way back, there were two types of fields. There were fields with green corn that was about this big, and then there were other fields that were full of what? Wheat that was turning what? Brown, okay? So you got to think agricultural calendar. If you plant in the spring, you harvest in the fall, and if you plant in the fall, you harvest in the... And this is reference to the fall-spring planting season. All right, so this is how you interpret this. The sluggard doesn't do what in the fall? Doesn't plant. He's playing video games, right, in his mom's basement. Right? And when it's time for the harvest, what happens? He's got nothing to call. Who's the woman whispering in his ear? Laziness. But it creates a path. Creates a path. We're going to do a sermon on this, so I won't go any farther down this. Last one here. The purpose of a man's heart is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Every guy in here has no idea what this means, and everyone was reading this going, I know exactly what this is talking about. So ladies, help us out. What's this telling us? What's a wise man do? Seek the depths of his heart. Every guy's like, I don't have depths. Nothing there. Right? You ask a guy, what are you thinking? He says nothing. He is thinking nothing. Ask a woman if she's thinking nothing, and she says nothing. You are in trouble, dude. Okay? But here's this beautiful proverb that says the woman that's speaking into the ears of a man is the tendency to just withdraw and suck it up and pull it in. But a man of understanding drops the bucket deep into the well and pulls up the things that are important, especially so that he can share and communicate with the people who are closest. And in context of relationship, think about this. A man who just will never share anything from his heart will leave his wife in a place where she doesn't know how to interact and respond. It is a wise man. You see, the woman is this. It is what the definition in a lot of places of masculinity is, which is a hard, tough man. And Proverbs says that creates a path that can be very dangerous. Now here, five Proverbs. Five of them address five different things. But all of them had a woman whispering in our ear, all of them had a path that it was creating, and all of them says there's something in this to treasure. You get this? Does that make sense? That's how you read Proverbs. And you may come across the one that says, strong drink's a brawler, and it may be like, hey, I haven't had a drink in 40 years, and that's probably not the one. But you may get to the sluggard, and that may be you, and that's where you stop and wrestle with it. And you begin to say, okay, God, show me how to see this through your eyes and how to wrestle with this and how to know you. And this is what Proverbs is all about. And what we're going to challenge you over the next few weeks is to read Proverbs with us. We're going to take some of the big themes, the big topics, and interpret them together and kind of cover what the Bible says about some big themes. And I was about to say, hey, if you look in your bulletin, you can find those, but we don't have bulletins, so if you pulled it up on your iPhone or whatever, you can look there. But we'll post out there so you can see what our topics for coming weeks are and all that. But that's kind of how we're going. And so we want to challenge you to see these and not read them for everybody else, but begin to apply wisdom to your life, to see the path of wisdom, to pursue the purpose of wisdom. And here's what it says. It says the fear of the Lord. And almost all those verses we read, it had the fear of the Lord somewhere. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What is the starting point? And the starting point is where I look to God and I have this awe and reverence, fear. Let me interpret the word fear for you. It means fear. It doesn't mean that I have this comfort level of Well, it just means reverence. No, it literally means fear. Now, there's two ways to fear somebody. There is the type of fear that causes you to run away from somebody because you believe they want to do you harm. And there is fear that causes you to run to someone because they love you. It's actually a good thing for young children to have a healthy fear of their parents who love them deeply, but who want what's best. It is healthy for your child when they are running towards the street. You tell them, stop, turn around, and come back. They fear you enough that they know that if they run into the street, you will help them to not do that anymore, right? Not in a violent, abusive way, but in a loving way that keeps them from running headlong into things that will destroy them. The fear of the Lord is for us to understand we have a loving Heavenly Father who loves us deeply, who wants to put his arm around us and help us have those talks. He wants to take us fishing. He wants to take us on shopping trips. He wants to have those times with us. And Proverbs is that. And Proverbs says the beginning point of wisdom is to fear the Lord, to have awe and reverence that leads us to trust and to love of our Father and to go, listen, I think my way is best. But God, first of all, can be my judge. But second of all, as my Father, he loves me and he knows better. I will trust him. And to apply that to our lives. And that's how you read Proverbs. And the final thought I want to tell you is that at the end, then, the gospel leads us to Jesus is the absolute fulfillment of every proverb you hear. Because what happens is you read the whole Bible, you have this whole book of wisdom that says this is the way you ought to go, and we keep tripping up over verses going, but this is not me. I'm not on that path. I've shipwrecked. I want to go back to 1985, but I can't. And what we find is that, first of all, Jesus is the personification of wisdom. He is the beauty of every verse in Proverbs. We see Proverbs displaying, like being a job description for the life of Jesus, right? And then Jesus is the sacrifice that pays for our failures, that says you are forgiven and loved, and there is a chance for a new start. And Jesus in his resurrection is the power to become the person that we see we ought to be in Proverbs, but we just can't be. And so what do you do when you trip over a proverb? You repent. You run to Jesus. You trust the gospel that Christ has died for your sin and risen again. And you start the path tomorrow anew. That's how you read Proverbs. So I'm looking forward to this summer. I'm looking forward to walking through these and just a lot of real practical, real life, this is how you live in this world sort of stuff. And I hope you will hang out with us and do the same. So I'm going to pray. The band's going to come out here. We're going to worship Jesus, who is the personification of everything that Proverbs has for us. And as I pray and as we worship, just a couple things, I would encourage you, this is our response. We respond to Jesus by lifting our hearts to him and worshiping. We respond by giving. And so we have our offering baskets here. And if you are a guest with us, this service is our gift to you. We're not asking you to give. We don't expect you to, but for those who are part of Genesis, the giving generous gifts back to Christ through the giving through your church is one of the ways we respond. We respond through repentance, worship, through generosity, and just lifting our hearts. And just make this your prayer. God, help me to begin to see my life through your eyes. Lord, we love you this morning. We praise you for being here with us, and that's our prayer today. Help us to begin to see our life through your eyes. Help us to begin to apply the wisdom of God to who we are. And help lead us down the path that leads to the beauty of our lives being in your goodness, where we find great joy in the gifts you give, but our joy really is to the giver and to you who are a good God and a good Father. In your name I pray. Amen.